Oh, kia ora, it's Thomas speaking. How are you?
Very well indeed, thank you, sir.
Now, what I do notice is that some of the things around the Resource Management Act and other things seem to be flexible when it comes to business, but when it comes to Māori, it's not as flexible.
Well, I don't agree with that at all. I think the Resource Management Act is a major impediment damaging the well-being of both Māori and non-Māori in New Zealand. It's a major headache. But interestingly, the Resource Management Act does give a preferential status to Māori in requiring, for example, local governments to consult with their community and with Māori. Now, frankly, if I were Māori, I'd object to that language because it implies that Māori are not part of the community. If they said community including Māori, I wouldn't object to that. But to say consult with the community and Māori implies that Māori are not part of the community and indeed that they have two votes. One as a member of the community, and secondly, and additionally, as iwi. And I think that's outrageous.
Well, what I do see is that it is recognised widely in the community that Māori have a special status in terms of kaitiakitanga. That is in terms of guardianship, and this is in a part of our culture. Now, the Resource Management Act, when it pertains to, say, someone building a building that might be overshadowing your property, is there some way of easing that that problem with your neighbour?
Well, absolutely. Your neighbour can object, and you may not get a consent to build your building.
But is there some way that you can negotiate with your neighbour so they object less?
Yes, I imagine there is.
Okay.
And indeed, there is evidence that in some cases, payments are made to the neighbour to compensate him or her for the loss of amenity values when a large building goes up next door.
So would that be a commercial situation, yeah, or would that be a cultural situation?
It would be commercial normally.
But it would be preposterous if it was a cultural situation.
No, and I think people do object on cultural grounds. That's okay.
And if there's some accommodation made, I'm not talking about specifically money, but if some accommodation was made that made that a little bit easier to live with, mm-hmm, would that be something the Resource Management Act could do?
I think it does now.
Yes, but you're saying the Resource Management Act can be preposterous.
I'm saying what is preposterous is the Resource Management Act says that local governments must consult with their community and with Māori as if somehow Māori are not part of the community. As I would find that offensive if I were Māori.
Well, I'm a Māori and I don't find it offensive.
But doesn't it imply that you're not part of the community?
I don't really see how you, Dr. Brash, can be offended on my behalf.
Thank you. Appreciate that. But, I mean, the wording clearly implies that Māori are not part of the community. And I would think that's absolutely outrageous. Isn't it?
Well, the way you phrase it does sound outrageous, but I don't agree with you. I think the fact that the Resource Management Act recognise Māori they have a special status when it comes to the environment, and there are special rules in there to stop Māori from getting pecuniary advantage or ridiculous advantage in terms of money or
payoffs.
Commercial payoffs. Mm-hmm. There's a protection that's already put in there for that. I object to that, but however, it's there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the reason why I'm surprised you don't find it offensive is that to say consult with the community and Māori clearly implies that Māori are not part of the community. And to me, that seems absolutely absurd.
Well, I think I've got a slight advantage over you, Dr. Brass, for two reasons. One of them is I am Māori. The other advantage I have over you is that I am one of those people that the council has to consult with.
Yeah, well, that's right, and that's why I'm saying I object to that. I mean, it is, to me, outrageous that the council is obliged to consult with one ethnic group in preference to any other ethnic group.
So you're saying that there's the privilege...
The meeting that I had with the council, they didn't seem to object to it. They were quite open to it, they liked it.
The council has become indoctrinated with the view that Māori have some kind of preferential constitutional status.
I think the point about it is what they like is not what you were saying. What they like about it is they've realised is that Māori can add something to the community.
Of course, of course.
They've got something to contribute.
I don't deny that at all. Absolutely right. I mean, Māori should be consulted with. But in the same way exactly that Europeans should be consulted with, Chinese, New Zealanders should be consulted with, etc. I mean, we should all be consulted when a major development is taking place.
Do you agree with that councils, etc., should consult with special interest groups?
I think they should consult with the community generally.
But with special interest groups, such as, say, the
fish and game,
the fish and game, bird protection,
they should consult
lobby,
with anyone who has a stake in any particular proposal.
The guardians of the Rangitikei. I mean, there are plenty of groups out there that
special
want to be
interests.
Consulted
yeah.
with a special interest.
Of course.
And I think Māori have a special interest.
Well, but I mean, to me, they don't have a special interest because of their race.
No,
I
think I agree with you in terms of the race thing, but I think Māori, it's not about race, it's about their particular Māori relationship with the land has been a lot longer and then...
Well, I think one of the things about race, I mean, if you're talking about genealogy, if you're talking about quantum and things like that, that's where the argument gets really a little bit difficult because really our culture is quite inclusive and there are many occasions where there are people that have been included a part of our culture and they have no specific racial identifiers that would identify them as Māori. They have... They weren't born by anybody that had a Māori genealogical thing, but they had a relationship with Māori such as that Māori couldn't see them being any different from other Māori in terms of their cultural understanding, their belief systems, and the way they acted. And we adopt people into our culture and into our families, and they end up with the same rights as the rest of us.
Well, I think that's fantastic. I mean, I'm delighted to hear that. And I think, as you say, Māori culture is an inclusive culture. I think New Zealand benefits from that fact. I guess what I'm saying is that, to me, the treaty makes it abundantly clear that all New Zealanders should have the same rights and privileges. And that's what I fear we're violating increasingly.
Well, I know there's many people would... You know, quite often people talk about advantage that Māori have and the privileges that they have. I think we're forgetting that white people or Pākehā people or European people, they wake up in the morning with a whole bunch of privileges that they just take for granted. Some of those privileges are not available to Māori.
Which ones are you thinking about?
Education, health.
All New Zealanders have access to the free education system. Sorry?
Employment?
And all New Zealanders have the access to employment. I mean,
a couple of years ago, the
highest paid person in Australasia in salary terms was Maori.
And what percentile is that of the population?
I'm not for a moment suggesting that average Maori incomes are equivalent to average European incomes. I'm not suggesting that for a moment. What I'm saying is that the law provides that all New Zealanders, irrespective of ethnicity, should have the same right to free hospital care, the same right to free education, the same access to social housing, etc.
I would really love for that to be the case, but it hasn't been my experience.
Why do you say that?
Because of my experience. Anecdotal, but if you look at the statistics, Māori are not getting these services delivered in an equal way in the community, in reality. And the statistics that we don't do these statistics. These come from the Department of Statistics, who are meant to be impartial, who are always pointing out that Māori are not getting the education that they need, they're not getting the health services that they need. They're not getting the employment that they clearly need.
I mean, let me absolutely agree with you that there are more Maori unemployed than European unemployed. More Maori smoke than non-Maori smoke. Therefore, more Maori die younger than Europeans do, etc. I mean, I'm not pretending for a single moment that Maori New Zealanders are, on average, as well off as non-Maori New Zealanders. I'm not for a moment pretending that. I'm saying is that the current constitutional status for people who have got a Maori ancestor, irrespective of their income, is a good system, and I'm suggesting it's not a good system. It's not working now. It's clearly not working now.
Well, I've got another clear advantage over you in my understanding of this. I'm also involved in treaty claims, mm-hmm. and we're looking at the information that's available to us, and we're doing some very new research into mm-hmm. The displacement of land. Now, we're looking at those whānau that have managed to hold on to their lands mm-hmm. and those who have not, and the reasons why. And we're finding some very revealing information about the skullduggery that has gone on to strip people away from their land base. And I've read a lot of research on what happens to any Indigenous culture who loses their land base as a financial base, as a base for their health. Once they lose that, people basically die.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first to agree that some land was confiscated from some Maori tribes. Let's also face the fact that many Maori tribes sold their land at on an arm's length basis in 18 whatever. Does the price look reasonable in today's terms? No, it looks outrageously low. But then I've sold a house 20 years ago for probably a third of its value today. I mean, I can't help that. I can't claim compensation because of that.
What I'm talking about is that there were clear rules about what could be sold and what could not be sold. The right. intention of the government at the time was not to make Māori landless, but there was Correct. Rules and regulations in there to particularly stop that from happening. What I'm saying is a systematic failure within the system to protect people from those sales and leaving people with useless bits of land that they could not live on, that they could not grow food on, but it looked like on paper that they had a lot of land. And this might be news to you, because it was news to me when I found this out, and it'll be in the news.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not quite sure the point you're making.
I'm saying that we haven't had the same advantages. We've had our land base stripped away from us.
Hold on a second. A lot of the land was actually sold by Maori. Not necessarily by unanimous vote of the tribe, but the chief no doubt sold land and pocketed the benefit.
Were we looking into those things? And when you say our chief, was it the right chief? Or was it just some Māori who said they had some land and they sold it because it wasn't theirs?
Fair comment. I agree with that.
You can't just make a broad statement saying, "Oh, Māori sold their land." You know, it was their own fault. I'm saying you can't make a statement like that, because clearly it's a lot more complicated than that.
I agree. I mean, some Māori land was sold, sometimes by people who had no right to sell it. Sometimes Māori land was confiscated, and this is why I've consistently said I support the payment of compensation where a reasonable case can be made that unfair dealings took place. In fact, when I was leader of the National Party, I was very keen to accelerate that process because it was dragged on much too long.
Are you familiar with a piece of law called the Legalisation of the Illegal Lands Act?
No, I'm not.
Okay, what that piece of legislation allowed to happen is when they found there was an illegal sale of land, it allowed them to legalise it wholesale, regardless of the circumstances.
When was that passed?
Oh, in the 1900s, early 1916, I think.
1916?
Yeah, roughly.
Okay. But, I mean, those are presumably the situations where iwi are coming to the Crown now and saying, look, we were diddled, we want compensation.
Yeah.
And that's, for me, entirely appropriate situation to look into. There were cases where that took place, totally unfair and unreasonable. Compensation should be paid. I've consistently supported that. And I think, by and large, that's what the Crown's trying to do.
Another piece of legislation you may or may not be familiar with, another situation, is landlocked land. Is where pieces of land have been sold from around someone, and they've got a piece of land, maybe 500 acres, in the middle of all these farmers' lands, and the farmers use it because no one else can access it, and they have no right, they have no means of accessing it. They can't go by any paper road or across private property to get to it. And there's a lot of that land out there.
Mm-hmm. I'm not aware of that, I must say. But
so,
I mean,
so Don,
I'm not quite sure.
I've got an advantage over you in my understanding of these issues. Your point of view about what Māori should have as privilege, or your point of view of how Māori should feel about these things, is from your own point of view, and I disagree with it entirely.
Well, I mean, we obviously do agree to disagree. We don't agree. But what I'm saying is there is no future for New Zealand if we go forward with one ethnic group having some kind of constitutional preference vis-a-vis everybody else. And it becomes even more ridiculous as the population increasingly blends. I mean, I don't know how many people there are in New Zealand who do not have a European ancestor, but I suspect the number is very, very small.
No, I think there's a lot of people coming from the Asian continent that don't have a European ancestor.
I'm sorry. I mean, I think there are very few Maori, people who call themselves Maori, who don't have at least one European ancestor. Our population's mixing, and that's a good thing.
We acknowledge those links, that genealogy, as much as we acknowledge our Maori genealogy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Scots people, the Irish people, the Jewish people, the people that we've mixed with and married with, we celebrate that as well.
Mm-hmm.
We welcome that. And our welcoming of the people that came to settle here was met with guns, brute force, legislation, parliament, you name it. And now when a piece of legislation goes in that tries to right the situation, some people say it's ridiculous.
I said earlier that I support the payment of compensation where it can be established with a reasonable degree of certainty that inappropriate or confiscatory things took place. That's not an issue between us. What I'm saying is that once that compensation has been paid fully, fairly, and hopefully finally, we should move forward as one people.